Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? So it may seem like there's two more speakers, but we are a package deal. So not really two more full presentations. My colleague Tracy Capers and I are sort of doing this tag team. So first, neither one of us have any financial relationships to disclose. And just quickly, a word about my organization, LISC, Local Initiative Support Corporation. We're a community development financing organization, and we make capital investments and develop programs to improve the quality of life in low-income neighborhoods. We work in 30 cities and across 1,400 rural counties. We work here in Chicago. And over time, we have invested over $14 billion in our local partners, leveraging about $44 billion in some of the poorest communities in the country. And here we are at a health convening. I'm usually with an audience of bankers and people who understand the community development industry and financing. So I thought a good place to start would be to ask the question, what is community development? If you Google it, as I have, you will find a lot of different definitions and terms to try to explain what it is and who's involved. And no matter what explanation you go with, I think you will always hear the themes that Julie and others laid out around coming together, goal setting, collaboration, and hopefully you will hear that throughout my remarks and Tracy's as well. But the best way that I know to capture the essence of community development is that it is really the work of driving investments into low-income communities to improve the quality of life for all residents, creating safe, economically viable places where people can thrive. And it may look different in different places, but it should have the same basic components. It's about engaging local leaders and residents in creating solutions that address the needs of low-income communities. And it's about doing this through cross-sector collaborations, public, private, and nonprofit. It includes real estate developers, financial institutions, philanthropy, community-based organizations, business, government, everyone here at the table. And everyone together targeting investments to impoverished neighborhoods that other more traditional investors may see as too risky. So using LISC as an example, we are a community development financial institution or financing intermediary. CDFI is the term we use, and there are nearly 1,000 of them in different shapes and sizes all across the country. And so we pool resources from banks, foundations, corporations, and government, and we channel these resources in the form of flexible, low-cost financing tools, loans, grants, equity, tax credits, and along with technical support, we provide these resources to community-based organizations who carry out real estate development and other types of neighborhood revitalization. And Tracy's organization is a good example of the type of local community development organization that we would support. So many people think of community development as just being about low-income housing. And in fact, the community development movement did start decades ago with a very strong focus on affordable housing. It was a way to stabilize urban neighborhoods that were facing population loss, high crime, economic distress back in the 1960s. And since then, our industry has financed millions of affordable homes all around the country. But the community development world really came to understand that better housing alone is not enough to transform a struggling community into a thriving one. And our work is really about creating viable places to live, work, go to school, raise a family. So community development has gone well beyond its original housing focus and now works in a much more comprehensive way, addressing the need for jobs, economic development, neighborhood safety, and financing everything from early childhood centers and schools, grocery stores, recreation facilities, health clinics, and many other types of community and commercial space. And the big aha moment for community developers is that this comprehensive approach to neighborhood revitalization is really all about health and well-being. The people who live in low-income neighborhoods and struggle to find stable housing, nutritious food, safe places to walk are the same people who have the highest rates of chronic disease and the shortest life expectancy. So we realize that we have a big role to play in helping to put in place so many of the things that are needed to create neighborhood environments that can support healthy living. Just a quick example to show you how we do our work. I didn't intentionally pick a Philadelphia neighborhood, but we're doing some further bonding here across our speakers. This is Eastern North Philadelphia, or at least was, a neighborhood with very high poverty and unemployment. It's one of our hundreds of target investment areas around the country. Not surprisingly, also has very high rates of asthma, diabetes, hypertension, obesity compared to the rest of the city and state. So what we do is work with local partners across many sectors. We engaged 300 residents in a local visioning process that resulted in a community quality of life plan. And in response to the needs that were identified in the plan, we have invested over $50 million in this community in housing, a new health clinic, a pharmacy, a dental clinic, a job training center, a grocery store, a credit union. And over time, we're seeing poverty is decreasing, income and employment are increasing, and a more vibrant neighborhood is emerging as we are trying to work to address so many of the different social determinants of health. So community developers are increasingly seeing our work as part of the strategy for addressing health beyond healthcare in communities. We know that health is connected to neighborhoods, not just individuals. The community development industry invests nearly $200 billion every year in neighborhood improvement projects that can have a big impact on health, from housing to jobs to food to schools. We're most concerned about the same people as the health sector. And while we've always been about cross-sector collaboration, our sort of aha moment of getting the connection between our work and health has led us to partner more proactively and directly with health partners. And so we are adding in public health departments, hospitals, health systems, and other health care providers to our cross-sector collaboration so that we can work together to try to address community needs. And to carry out our social mission as financing organizations, we bring a discipline, a business discipline to our work. And that means we know how to create good investment vehicles. We know how to structure sound financing and get repaid so that we can put the money out to someone else. And through our technical assistance, we're also bringing local capacity to the neighborhoods where we work that remains in the neighborhoods. So I'm going to turn it over to Tracy, yep, that's her, from the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation, as Katie said, she represents one of LISC's lead partners in New York City, and she's going to tell you how her community development organization has really incorporated an explicit health lens into every aspect of their community development activities.
Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing? So, aren't you hungry? But anyway, thank you, Amy, for that helpful context for my presentation. So, as Amy shared, you know, a couple things that I want to accomplish today in terms of my brief presentation. First, I want to share a little bit about our journey and work in the public health field and really underscore the value of partnership with a community development institution. Are there any community development people in the room? Okay, great. And I think I see my trusted colleague, Afia Bediako, who also happens to be the cover model in this front row of this presentation. So, where's the first one? Okay. Little button. Okay. Who knew it was going to be so hard to find the cursor? Okay. So a little bit about our organization. Bedside Restoration Corporation is the nation's first community development corporation. We were actually started 50 years ago by bipartisan senators Robert F. Kennedy and Jacob Javits. And the thing that I want to say about the organization is that, you know, much like Amy described, we've always been in the business of public health. We didn't use those terms, but we were always in the business of public health. We've really always been about improving the quality of life of neighborhoods, both transforming places where we live and uplifting the people in those places. We've done that in, through a variety of ways, and restoration does that in a variety of ways. We bring in supermarkets, we bring in housing, we develop housing, we bring in arts and culture, we bring in anything that's needed to make a place a livable place for us to raise our family, work, and play. And also, we also look to determine strategies on how we're going to uplift the people who live in those communities at the same time. So, you know, while I really think that we've been in the work of improving communities and in the work of public health for many years, I think over the last 4 years, I think we've become more intentional about that work. And what I mean by that is we've now, with new funding and new partnerships, now we have new nomenclature and new terminology to describe our work. You know, it's like the big aha moment for me is once I started to come to conferences like this, I thought this was going to be a big leap for our work, but then I realized we've been doing this all along. You know, now I'm learning new words like health disparities and built environment, but we've been doing this work all along. So that was a big aha moment for me. In terms of who some of our partners are, we work with LISC is a national partner of ours, providing best practices from community development corporations all around the country. We work in partnership very closely with the New York City Health Department, and we receive funding from them through the Center for Disease Control, and we manage a borough-wide coalition of 100 organizations through that partnership. And then we're also a part of a cohort of a half dozen organizations that are funded by Kellogg that are called Food and Fitness Partnerships. Oh, the wrong cursor. That is the hardest part of my presentation, is the cursor. Cursor. How do I learn the cursor? So another, like, you know, aha moment for me was just really, you know, as Julie and I think other people on the presentation shared, is that when I really learned that your zip code, I mean, I guess I got it intuitively. A lot of the stuff in community development we kind of take for granted, but when, like, we actually heard the language and the verbiage that your zip code determines your lifespan, I mean, it just really scared me. And it really it made me realize that this work and these partnerships are so, so important. So just a little bit about the area where we work. Restoration is actually a borough-wide organization. We work in the borough of Brooklyn, which happens to be the most populous borough in New York City. So we work throughout the entire borough of Brooklyn, but we concentrate on what we call Central Brooklyn. And for the purpose of this presentation, I'm going to really focus on primarily on the work that we do in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And Bedford-Stuyvesant is a rapidly gentrifying neighborhood, but it's even with that, we're still a primarily African American and Caribbean American community. And you can see, you know, the stats here, and actually the stats, it's interestingly enough, the New York City Health Department just released a community health profiles of all the community districts throughout New York City, and this data is a little bit old, and from the New York City Health Department, these facts haven't changed with the community health profiles that they just issued. But you can see that we have some challenges in the neighborhood. What's interesting about the neighborhood is, like, it's so close to Manhattan, it's a neighborhood that is becoming increasingly valued because of the, you know, the close proximity to New York. You know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when restoration started, you couldn't give the brownstones away. Now, 50 years later, you know, you got the highest pockets of, you have some of the highest pockets of poverty, you know, juxtaposed to houses that are going for $1.5 million and $2 million. So, you know, while you see some stats, if you actually break it down to a census tract level, we have poverty rates as high as 50% in some areas of the community. Hence the right cursor. Okay. So now I'm just going to share just many examples of how we've been working in this space and how our evolution in thinking has changed over time. So again, I think the important thing to know that I want you to get is that, you know, community development corporations are very important, strong, important assets to work with. You know, they have been doing this work long before they had the name, the terminology for it. And at the same time, they have lots and lots of partnerships, and they have lots and lots of assets for you to partner with them on. So when we first started this work, a couple of things that we really looked to do is, first, we looked to, and we still continue to do this, we started to think about how we can model our own practices for the community. So now that we're a spokesperson with the Department of Health and manage a coalition, we really had to take a deep look, internal look, to say, you know, what are our own practices? You know, what are we serving in our meetings? Are we serving unhealthy food, which we were, and so we still do sometimes, but we are definitely moving in the right direction. Do we have soda and potato chips in our vending machines? So now we're, you know, changing those things. Are we making it accessible for people to walk up and down the steps? And also, from a leadership point of view, I think it's been a great personal epiphany and journey for me, because I've had to look at my own way of being to say, am I the right model for the work that we do? So one success story, I lost 40 pounds over the course of this work. So, and I attribute it to this partnership. The other piece that I want to stress is we, as community development organizations, we attract and promote healthy places and programs. Again, long before we knew this was about public health. So a couple things that Restoration has done, we brought in a beautiful, you know, full-scale, you know, supermarket into the neighborhood. We brought in a health center that is the oldest operating health center in the community. We orchestrated a mile-long streetscape improvement project, working in partnership with the Department of Transportation, the City's Economic Development Corporation. And the mile-long streetscape improvement project created two public plazas, you know, creating a walkable destination. We created bike lanes, new trees on the sidewalk. And so what was interesting about that is we, as community development corporations, we were really looking at that work from a economic development lens about what is needed in neighborhoods. We needed healthy and good shops. And so how can we spur, you know, commercial and tourism within the neighborhood? But, you know, come to find out, you know, we changed the built environment to create places where people could live more active and healthy lives. Oh, goodness. Okay, great. This slide, I just wanted to share a couple examples about how, you know, as a community development corporation, one, and as you go about your work, you really should think about who you're partnering with, and just think about how do you incorporate the lens of health in all of the partnerships that you work with. So example is, we actually, in the borough of Brooklyn, and, you know, throughout New York City, there's a real focus on cradle to career, you know, strategies. And so what I found was, through cradle to career strategies, it was a good opportunity to incorporate a health discussion. Well, you know, because I think everyone does believe that we have to provide for our nation's future, starting with the earliest age. And we want to make sure that our kids graduate from high school and have opportunities and, you know, for, you know, careers. So a couple of things that we did, most importantly, we aligned with other movements. We aligned with the educational several educational organizations. Two ways we did that. One, we have a major initiative around farm to early care, and we're working with Head Start centers, you know, throughout Bed-Stuy and throughout the borough of Brooklyn. And what was interesting about that effort, what we're doing is, well, a couple things, is we're changing the meals from frozen fruits and vegetables, canned fruits and vegetables, to farm fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables from a local food hub. And we've worked with over a dozen Head Start facilities in reaching some 800 children. And we're, at the same time, what we're also doing is we're setting up buying clubs for the parents as well. So as we're changing the palates of the children, we're also influencing the futures of the family. So we thought this was a very easy early win strategy for us because obviously everybody loves the babies and everybody knows that it's important that we give them their best start. And one of the things we also found was that 1 to 4 children, New York City children, are food insecure. We also learned that 70% of the calories are consumed in early care settings. So it kind of reinforced, you know, this effort. On the other side of the spectrum, we also, through partnership with LIS and funding through LIS, we actually renovated a football field, you know, that's made available for a local high school, but also for the local community. And what was interesting about this effort, as part of our community development work, we were working to save a historic school who had terrible graduation rates and was at risk of closing. And so at the same time, Amy came to me with an opportunity to build a football field. And first I'm thinking, like, I don't have time to write this proposal. Why should I do this? But then after, you know, further thinking, I thought, you know what? This is probably what this community needs. This is what the school needs because this is a historic school, a school that has a soft, everybody in the community has a soft spot for this school. So this is a way to gel the community around an exciting win. So we raised $400,000 from the NFL and from a local council member to renovate, you know, this football field. And not only making it available to the school, but also making it available for the larger community. So I think, you know, just quickly on this slide, because I think I've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, again, you know, what community development, how we've been thinking about this work as I've kind of started to understand this work over time, it's like you don't need to start from scratch. You can build on existing assets. And what's interesting about us as an organization, we own and manage a 300,000 square foot cultural, commercial, and community space. And so that gives us lots of room to shape an agenda around health. And as I mentioned earlier, we led a mile-long streetscape improvement project, which included 2 public plazas. So as a result of that effort, a couple of things that we've done is we brought in free exercise, we brought in a farmer's market, and we brought in kind of outdoor cultural program, dance, film, that create a walking destination, a walkable destination, so people can, you know, lead healthier lives. And so what I want to also reinforce about this slide is that you just have to have a commitment to this work and a long-term view, because it's not always easy and you don't see the results overnight. Because what's exciting when I look at this slide of the exercise and I look at the cover slide was a year ago and it was like probably 3 people with Afia on the cover slide. This slide has 10 people, but I gotta tell you, there are like 100 people strong in this exercise class every Mondays and Wednesdays, and it is so beautiful. And I actually got an email from the instructor, you know, today about how amazing it is, about how we're, you know, changing people's lives. They're stopping their medication, they're losing weight, and we're part of a movement, that's happening one person at a time. Another example about building on existing assets, a major asset that we have is the local supermarket. So in this plaza, we brought in a beautiful supermarket, and we have a phenomenal partner in this Katz family that they own 10 regional supermarkets, including the one in our plaza. So we've worked with them on a number of strategies, including changing, bringing in new signage, changing the displays of the food so that the healthier food and the water is more eye level. We've incorporated cooking demonstrations there, and they do anything that we want to promote health. So they're amazing. Okay, same problem. Finally, my last slide. I guess what I really wanted to share here is that, all communities are not the same, as you probably get. And so it's important to really tailor and customize the solutions to your respective community. And really listen. and that is really important. One thing I want to do, I want to really commend the New York City Health Department, because they've just undertaken a unprecedented, they're calling it Take Care New York 2020, where they're trying to change the indicators in communities all around New York City. And what they did starting last week in Bed-Stuy at a press conference with my president, they're actually going to have listening sessions, and they're going to ask the community to vote on what indicators are most important to them. So it's important to customize and tailor the solutions to your neighborhood. And think about, what are the cultural and social norms that are present in the neighborhood. Every community has something they're very proud and it's historic about their neighborhood. In this slide, you see that we had a opportunity to encourage people to walk up the steps. And what we did was we commissioned an artist to showcase the various cultural icons from the neighborhood, because Bed-Stuy is a rich cultural community. So this is Stephanie Mills. Also in the stairwell, we have Max Roach, UB Blake, and others. Also, what's interesting is, in terms of customizing solutions, I want you to think about, we're undertaking a new initiative, interestingly enough, to encourage ridership in Bed-Stuy of the new bike share system. So, and that's a really interesting challenge for us, because it's bike share is a vehicle that is pretty much, I think most of the riders in New York City are white males. And so what we're really trying to do is encourage, this as a transit option for, people of color and low-income population. So we have lots of historic, cultural norms that we have to kind of confront and address in order to get people to ride the bike. So it's really important in those, and at the same time, people feel that there may be more important issues to work on in the neighborhood, whether it's unemployment or other things, housing. So, so in that context, what we're doing is we're tailoring the messages, to our neighborhood. We're lifting up relatable ambassadors, people from the community, people of color, to ride the bike. And then we're also kind of looking at issues that are preventing people from riding the bike, like there's a concern about racial profiling, and that's a real issue. So we're really kind of trying to look at how do we tailor make a solution to the community in which we live. So that ends my presentation. Thank you.
So in sharing our passion with you, we didn't give you a lot of time for conversation or question, but certainly would like to take one or two and then invite you to speak with the speakers after the panel today. And I will ask, I'll take the moderator's prerogative to say, please keep your questions brief. Questions or reflections? Please, sir.
obviously very exciting. Thank you all for sharing. As we're working with our communities and even with mayors and so many other multi-sector leaders, how can we find out about community development corporations who have interests in our geographic areas?
Well, one way is to go through the kind of network of all community development financing institutions in the country, which is Opportunity Finance Network, OFN. And if you come up to me, I can give you their contact information. And so the CDFIs are at my level of we provide the investments and technical assistance and management support to the community development corporations like Tracy. And so a lot of places have associations of community development. Our version of CDC is Community Development Corporation. So there are other associations that have kind of networks of CDCs that work in different geographic areas. But I think most CDFIs that are working either nationally, statewide, regionally, even locally, will be the right ones for particular geographic areas. And OFN has a whole sort of database that you can search and find the right ones. So come up to me and I'll give that to you.
So I invite you all to share with me and thanking our panelists. As you think about the fact that we're here in the land of Lincoln right now, I wanted to share a quote, which is, he is credited with saying, put your feet in the right place and stand firm. And I think we've learned today what that means to do it with our partners on multiple levels, how to really think about how collaboration is the new competition and how we move to that directional alignment and commitment in new ways with lots of different partners, not only our business partners, our elected officials, and our community development partners, but we've heard of others like youth and media and artists as we continue to tell this story and to create communities in which all people can thrive. So thank you all.